Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
Welcome to episode 38 of The Casual Temple, and I'm your host, Marilee Duffy. Here at The Casual Temple, we are discovering our connection to the unseen world of spirit and how that empowers us to know our true selves. A free and easy way to support the show is to subscribe and leave a star review on your favorite podcast platform. We'd love to hear from our listeners, so consider shooting us a note on casualtemple.com. You can also sign up for the mailing list, where you can win a free reading from me, Marilee, and we draw a winner every month, and your name stays in until you win. I had a most awesome chat with Kara Claymore, who is a Renaissance person who has a bold and authentic approach to life that fuels creative artistic passions for acting, drawing, and dancing. We talked about how Kara felt a deep connection to spirituality through nature and being raised as a Roman Catholic. Over the years, Kara has embraced the magic of life and the synchronicities that arise when we open ourselves to the universe. In this episode, Kara reflects on past experiences with a belief that life is too short to live in fear or sadness, and the importance of living boldly. Here on The Casual Temple, the unseen becomes seen. Welcome to The Casual Temple. This week, our rad guest is artist, actor, filmmaker, creator, tarot reader, and strong magical badass, Kara Claymore. Kara is here to remind us that life is too short to be scared, weak, or somber, echoing the wise words of Neville Goddard, great wonders are possible. Kara, is so awesome to have you here at the Casual Temple. Thank you.
Thank you so, so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me. It is a delight.
Thank you. I kind of usually start with how I found you. I found you.
Wow. How did you find me?
How did I find you? Well, actually, Aiden Walker found you.
Aiden, I love Aiden.
Oh, he is the best. And I'm in his Discord, and he mentioned something about, like, you lift weights and you do magic. And I was like, I need to see this person. I've been following you for quite a while on your Instagram. You have so much cool stuff. You're a Renaissance person. It's amazing all the things you do. So yes, so I'm happy that you decided to chat with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we kind of just start wherever you consider the beginning of where you are at today. So if you don't mind taking us back and learning a little bit more.
Absolutely. It's very magical and beautiful that today we are having this podcast because I just happen to have an extra magical day. It's one of those days where last night I did some deep visionary trance work, and then this morning I made a petition, and then my whole day was this nonstop psychedelic sort of roller coaster of synchronous events and things. So I'm just feeling very blessed and happy and grateful. And that's sort of my segue into, like, the reality of magical living and, like, what that is, and sort of taking it back to, I guess, my origin story is I was raised Roman Catholic, a big Irish family. And I loved church as a child. I loved the ritual. I felt very close to God. I felt very close to the divine. And I spent a lot of time in nature, like talking to trees and whatever creatures I could find. And I sort of always felt, I was very sensitive. I'm neurodivergent, autistic. So I always felt sort of different than other people, but I didn't really have, like, a language for that. It was just sort of this very deep sensitivity and hyper awareness of certain areas of life that other people weren't always necessarily clued into, whether that was, like, emotional, physical, creative. So I was a very creative child, always drawing, dancing, singing. I started acting when I was very, very young. So that sort of is part of how I became a filmmaker. It was sort of like I started performing, like, as soon as I could walk, basically making people laugh and entertaining people. Like, that just always brought me a ton of joy. And it was a way for me to express all of this energy that was just constantly moving through me in different ways. So while I was not, I would say, explicitly magical in certain terms, like, I didn't come to magic as a personal craft until much, much later. I definitely like the seeds were always there. The seeds were always there. So my sort of magical journey started more explicitly around 2015, 2016. Actually, I was sort of a disillusioned agnostic, sort of. I'd fallen away from the church. That wasn't working for me anymore. But as a very spiritual person, there was like this massive void, and I just didn't know what to do about it. And but I started getting super into personal development, which sort of segues into the lifting stuff. But around that time, I started writing and producing my web series Asher with my best friend and now partner Jackie Payne. And Asher is about an exorcist. It's like Buffy meets the Exorcist, and I play this character who's very magical. And I, at the time, was very like, oh, this is just for fun, and this is just the character. But it was very soon that I started playing this character that I started adopting and picking up with a lot of Jackie's encouragement, because Jackie's a super magical person as well, and they already had like their own practice. So I was like, oh, so what's the deal with crystals anyway? And Jackie'd be like, well, like, are you actually interested? I'm like, yeah. And so I started sort of dabbling in and getting curious about what magic actually looked like, felt like, was. I was totally ignorant and blind to the like the density of Western o culture, shall we say. And so it's been a around 2016, 2017, I started getting a little more serious and started like reading a little bit more and picking up various books and exploring different practices. But that's kind of how it all began. So Asher was sort of ended up being a bit of a magical hyper sigil. But I sort of discovered what that was a little bit later, and I was like, oh, I think this is what this is. I think I'm doing this to myself. And it, there's been a lot of really wild, beautiful, crazy events related to that. But yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. I love that you started it out with like you. I'm happy and so glad that you're having a magical day because those are the
Thank
best.
you.
And yeah, it's that communicate. It's like it's that conversation, that communication that you're having with like whatever that is. And then it feels like you have support and like something has your back, you know, even.
Yes,
So it's
definitely.
so awesome. And the other thing too, as you mentioned, growing up Roman Catholic, and that was like kind of connecting with that because my dad was Irish Catholic and my mom's Filipino, so very, very Catholic. But even with those two, it was kind of sort of Catholic, right? We would only go on Easter and Christmas and sometimes during the year if they felt a particular way. But I always look back on it, and even though I'm not practicing either, I always look back on it and I'm like, I'm actually really glad that we had that experience, even for a short time, because it gives you a sense of something beyond the everyday, like that grandeur that you talked about. So
Oh yes.
I
Oh
love
yes,
that you brought that
definitely.
up.
I think I mean, I had mixed feelings there. I think there were things for me within the church that did not gel so well with me. But the fact that I was immersed in ritual and an explicit relationship with a supernatural dimension of life, really, from a very young age. And, you know, leaning into the more Irish Catholic side, it was like, well, yeah, there's angels and demons and there's beings. And it's not as big of a jump from like these beings are evil or scary, don't engage with them, to like these beings are not real. I always sort of had a sense that these things could be real on some level. And so when I finally sort of found my way to magic, it was more just about understanding that there was a lot more nuance to what these forces and entities and things might actually be like. Versus, you know, the version that I was taught growing up, that there was just a lot more depth, a lot more variety. Whereas I think for some folks who maybe were grew up in a slightly more secular materialist lens, it might be a bigger leap, understandably. I do have gratitude for it in that way. A lot of some good stuff. There's some good stuff. And I do have elements of my practice that are sort of folk magic and form. Shout out, I got to shout out my boy, Saint Expedite. He's
Saint Expedite.
just the best.
Oh.
So I had to shout him out.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I started working with him this year actually, just to experiment because I was like, everybody seems to have such great results with this guy. Let me try it.
He's great.
And every time, boom, boom, that dude comes through. So everybody, check him out.
Check it out.
Yeah, I love that you brought him up.
He loves to be talked about.
Yes. Yeah. Gotta hype that guy up. He's awesome. Wow. Yeah. So many cool things you mentioned there. And I love that you talked about your series Asher and how it was like, oh, that's a pretend me. And then, but now it's
It's, I gotta say, it's so wild. It's like there was a scene in the first, and this is on my YouTube. If anyone wants to watch this, like, oh, we can link to it, whatever. It's all out there. But there's like a scene where the character is giving somebody a crystal healing, and she's got crystals on her chakra points. And the character is kind of like a little bit of like a, not a con man, but there's a level to how she does things that's like a little sketchy sometimes. So I was having a lot of fun with that. Like, oh, like this is just a fun to kind of the way we play that scene is a little bit for laughs. But and then like fast forward to like a year later, and I'm lying on my own bed with crystals on my chakra points, like doing the exact thing that I had my character doing. And I was like, oh, interesting.
Right.
Funny
That's hilarious. Oh my
that
gosh.
works.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh my gosh. So with all these experiences and kind of your path, did you have any, would you point to any people that were sort of a support or guidance along your way, whether, it be magical or not, I
Yeah,
guess. Yeah.
so in magical terms, I would say my partner Jackie was a huge support and like really just encouraged me. They already sort of had their own magical visionary practice, and they were just very encouraging. They were like, read whatever you want to read. They were always interested in hearing what I was researching and getting into and dabbling in. So just having a close friend and now partner, like be just explicitly like, yeah, this is awesome. You should deep dive and like get into whatever you want to get into was really helpful. I have a somewhat knee-jerk reflexive distaste for authority and structure of any kind, maybe sometimes to my own detriment, admittedly. So I have eschewed all formalized learning of any kind when it comes to magic, but I've been reading voraciously, and I've started to like make some magical friends. So like people like Aidan Wachter, his books were a huge influence on me. He's just I got to chatting with him and say he's a wonderful person. And so as I've got deeper into my own practice and started making friends within the magical world, I've started to find more community support in that way of people that I can like bounce things off of and be like, hey, like I'm dealing with this scenario. Like, what magic would you do about it? Like, oh, well, I would try this and this and this and this. So it's been really wonderful. Like, I would definitely, I'm sort of, I love to learn and I'm currently exploring like a new pathway and what that looks like for me right now. But it's been great to have sort of friends and communal support, especially in the recent years, to sort of lift me up. Because it's definitely been in the past, there have been times where I felt like I've been totally alone and like I'm out here in the wilderness with no idea what is going on.
Yes, for sure. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm glad that you have your community that you can reach out to, and I so identify with like the sort of not wanting the formalized structure or kind of I don't know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make you comfortable. But yeah, I do love, I read all those dusty books, I like reading those dusty books, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, well, I don't know. Is this really going to work for me in 2024? Like,
Right, right.
but I still love reading about it. Yeah, and definitely things, it seems like you're more experiential, which I think is kind of key in a
Very,
lot of
very
it.
much so. I
Yeah.
am definitely of the mindset that the faster you can get your body and your hands into something, your mind, your brain, whatever,
Yeah.
the faster you're going to learn. And that's not to eschew, reading is obviously great. Like the amount of information we have at our fingertips is dazzling.
Oh my gosh,
The
yes.
fact that I can even read, spells written 1,000 years ago is wild. So I think take and use whatever resources you can. And I think I'm all in favor of people crack open the dusty tome and read that spell out loud and like see what happens. Like maybe it's a copy of a copy of a copy, maybe nothing,
Yeah.
but you'll be having an experience. And at the very least, you'll be engaging with the spirit of whatever that was written in, right? And so I think there are things that kind of get passed down and get translated that might that are just worth investigating if you're curious. I think my big ask of myself too, even this year, as I've been trying to I've been just integrating more of my practice sort of into my daily life. Like for a while, it was like magic was something I would like do once a month, and like I would like work myself up and be like, okay, I'm gonna do like a big ritual, you know? And that was had a potency to it, definitely. And there's a lot of value in that. But I've also been discovering the joy and the benefit of just living as a more magical person and having more things that I do frequently to sort of be in the flow. And for me, that means I'm staying a little bit more connected to the spirit world. I'm staying a little bit more connected to my own spiritual, like intuitive hunches, which overlaps with my creativity in a lot of ways. So yeah, I'm about get your hands in there, get them dirty, do something.
Oh, I love that. Oh, it's making me also think because you're in Brooklyn, and so how and when you were a kid, you liked to be in nature, and so I think
Yes,
people,
so.
yeah, I think you know where I'm going with that. But
Oh, no, I was just going to interrupt you to say
sure.
I moved to Brooklyn when I was about 18, so I didn't grow up
Oh,
here.
okay, gotcha.
I grew up in the DC area and in southern Pennsylvania, so I had like a
Oh.
lot more nature access
Oh, gotcha.
than I do now. I do live right by not far from a huge park in Brooklyn, so
Oh,
I'm able
yes.
I and I have a great relationship with that park, and I'm there all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was what I was kind of going towards, like, how do you relate to nature, especially when people think
Yeah.
cities don't have nature, which I live in Seattle,
Yeah,
but
hella nature. We
yeah,
got
there's
hella
nature.
nature. We
Yeah.
got pigeons, we got
You're right.
birds, rats and
Yeah.
critters and raccoons. The park that I live near, it's beautiful, lots of birds, lots and lots of wildlife. Just very, very beautiful, dense, intense energy. I've done a lot of rituals there. I've tried to establish like a happy sort of working relationship that I feel like is pretty mutual. With that park, and it's great. It's great. The city definitely has like there's certain challenges to like I tend to prefer to do magic late at night because it's just when it's quietest and I can focus much more easily. I live off of a very busy avenue, so if I'm gonna do anything during the day, it's like I gotta blast the fan and the noise machine, you know, just so I can focus because I can hear so much around me. So you know, there's certain things that are kind of tricky about magical city life, but there's so many cool things to have access to so much. There's so much energy here too to just like suck up.
Yeah, that's an interesting point too, because I love living in the city, even though Seattle is not, you know, as maybe as busy as New York. But I know some magical practitioners, and that's just the way they work. They need to get out into the country, right? Because of that, there's too much of that energy that you
Absolutely.
talked about, right?
Absolutely. I am very curious about how I do have my pastoral sort of fantasy of, you know, the farm, and I'm sure many folks do, of like living in a slightly more rural place a little bit later in my life, and what that will allow for me and what that will enable in terms of my spiritual magical practices. Like I'm like, yeah, I want to go into the woods, not see anyone for a week, and you know, make contact with my guardian angel or whatever. Like let's do it, you know. Like logistically, practically right now, that's not gonna happen.
Right. Yeah.
You gotta come to Brooklyn. I don't know.
You make your way, find your way to Brooklyn. Yeah. Oh, that's too funny. Oh gosh. And so sort of my next question, but you've already mentioned or Aiden and his work, but are there any other either authors or books that inspired you?
So Aiden's books, particularly Six Ways and Weaving Fate, were both invaluable to me. Those were some of the spell work in those books was some of the most consistent and deeply delve into work that I had done ever magically. The Black Book and the Reclaiming Rite in Six Ways were just had just they just they took me far. They took me far. So I highly recommend those books. And Aiden, obviously we've already raved about him, but just stellar human being. Lee Morgan, who writes about like traditional witchcraft, their book Standing and Not Falling was pretty brain-changing for me. Just the way that they write about witchcraft and magic just touched something deep in me that was like just waking up. And that book is really powerful and has a lot of awesome stuff in it. And they also, I just recently read, very recently, they wrote also a series of novels that are very occult. And those novels and the way that the characters engage with magic in the novels was very inspiring. And it was a huge reminder for me of how like And I'm a huge like film person, but how much magical inspiration there is in not explicitly like occult texts within story. There's a lot of like there's so many great writers who I think end up encoding things. I think Lee does it very, very consciously because they are a great magical writer. But there's a lot of people who have just, something like Lord of the Rings that has so much magic encoded into it that you can delve into and tap into for inspiration. So I think fiction is a great. I'm just a huge fan of fiction, and if everyone's got book recs, let me know. So
Oh,
Lee
yeah.
Morgan, Jason Miller's books very recently I have found very helpful. Consorting with Spirits and Real Sorcery were both great. All his stuff's really good. It's very approachable. It's very straightforward. He's just like, here's this work. Here's the mechanics. Here's why I think it works. Here's how to try it. Try it. See what happens, So he's got that sort of hands-on, pragmatic. Field manual approach to magic that really rocks with me. So I found his stuff very helpful, and there's been some stuff from his that I ended up picking up and has added a lot to my practices. So highly recommend.
Oh, I like that description of Jason's work. It's he's like field guide, practical, like get in
Yeah, get
there.
in there.
That's good. Wow, such great. And now I'm like, now I have to put Lee Morgan on my
Oh, he's
list.
great. Yeah, definitely.
That's
Yeah.
awesome. And so the next sort of question is around, so you do strength training
Oh, yes.
and yes, and I do too. And that's one of the reasons I was so psyched to talk with you. How would you say that weaves into your creative and your magical work and vice versa, like all around? How does that work?
So now strength training is very much a grounding and regulatory practice. It's something that helps me feel safe and powerful and at home in my body. It's a form of self-expression in a lot of ways. I was very fortunate. I had sort of a 2012, I had sort of a life rock bottom moment with a couple of things. And I started getting into, that was when I started getting into fitness. And I had this feeling of, I can't really control anything in my life, but I can control what I do with my body. I can do a plank. I can do a squat. And I sort of built my way from doing very basic 15-minute body weight exercise routines to leaving my bartending job and getting a job working the front desk at a gym. Through that, getting access to like nice, just equipment, barbells, et cetera. And I started, my sister at the time encouraged me. She had just started lifting barbells, doing a traditional starting strength programs like deadlift, squat, bench. And she had encouraged me to do it. And so I started dabbling and I don't remember the exact first moment that I picked up a barbell, but it was like, oh, this is like I've always done this. It was like one of those things that I just felt so naturally at home doing. I even as a somewhat like a person who can in certain spaces have a lot of like hyper self-awareness of like, are there people watching me? Like, what's going on? I just felt so at home doing it. And it felt and I felt so viscerally connected to my own body when I was doing it. That I felt very powerful very quickly. And I was already like, I'm 5'8" and have been semi, I did like a little bit of activity as a kid. Like I did not think of myself as athletic, but I definitely have some, physical capacities that I think are slightly above average. Like I'm tall and was bartending a lot. So like I had sort of that like a little bit of a base, I guess, of strength. And so anyway, I got really obsessed really fast and I just like poured myself into it. And in that early time, it was like a self-reclamation process. It was like my life was really out of control, just, working a job I didn't like, not really being creative in the ways I wanted to be creative. Early 20s, just like lost in the woods, and training became this sanctuary of activity that I could just pour myself into. And for a few years, like I trained like my life depended on it. And I found the sport of strongman, strongwoman. And I found a coach, this guy, Chad Cantor, who I was so fortunate to find him because he just knew his shit. He's a great coach, good guy. And he just set me up really well of like, if you want to be, you want to be this strong, you want to look this way, you want to be able to do this and this and this and this, great. Here's exactly what you need to do. And his training, just like, it was solid. It was like simple, intense, but creative, but straightforward. And I was around other people who were all super gung-ho about this sport. So it created a training environment where I just could bring so much energy. And I had all this like emotional intensity just built up inside me from just life. And I had this place that I could just pour it all into. And then pretty much immediately experience a sort of positive feedback of getting stronger and building muscle. And it wasn't long before I was feeling and looking at myself in like a very different way, where I was like, oh, I'm starting to feel and look like this person that I've always wanted to be, which is somebody strong and powerful. Like when I was little, I was super into the X-Men and superheroes. And like when I watched Terminator 2 and saw Sarah Connor doing pull-ups in her psych ward cell, I was like, that's it. And I hadn't like ever really put all that together and like, oh, you should lift weights. But when it happened hard. And so I was very, very committed to my strength practice, to the level that like I competed at a fairly high level in strongman. And I was pouring, like I was training, 5 days a week, 2 to 3 hour sessions, like a big chunk of my life revolved around it. And in the last 4 years or so, I sort of slowly started to back off from that because that level of intensity and that level of training was simply no longer congruent with my big life goals and priorities. I kind of got what I wanted to get out of competing. I still do it occasionally. I'll do like a small local show or something. But that level of intensity was not sustainable. And there's still a level to which I think I pushed myself and my nervous system to a sort of like peak level that I'm in no rush to, like, I don't know if I'll ever train that way again. So like I took it like as far as I could take it, which was pretty extreme. And I was a bit of a thrill seeker, so I was really getting off on the adrenaline of competition and the performance and a little bit of the danger and just the highs of that experience. And so eventually I was like, okay, this is not my long-term plan. But it taught me a lot about my body, and it taught me about how much we are capable of that is so much beyond what we can conceive of at first. And I've taken what I learned in strength training and in competing, training to compete, was a lot of mindset stuff about like, you really do not know what your capacity is until you push yourself and test yourself. And that has served me really well in my creative work and professional life, and now in my magical life. So it's kind of been a journey. So now I approach lifting as a much more health and grounded oriented experience. Like this is about preserving me and making me healthy and strong for as long as I can be, and so that I can live at a certain level of capacity, right? So I'm always training with some level of goal in mind of like, I try to push certain types of intensities in certain ways. But so that's sort of how it has morphed over the years. Went from very all in to push it to the limit, cue the Rocky theme song, like to now it's like I lift a couple times a week and I run, and I'm not trying to lift until I get a nosebleed anymore.
Oh,
But
gosh.
a couple years ago, I literally would have been like, oh yeah, sick. I pushed myself. I don't know, like I was definitely sort of along those lines.
Oh my gosh.
I burst a blood vessel. I'm so proud of myself.
It looks
So
cool, I'm gonna say, right?
it does. It does.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I love watching on Instagram. I follow quite a bit of mainly female lifters, and I love watching them lift big weights. I don't
Oh
know.
yeah.
It's
Oh yeah. It's so
awesome.
inspiring. It's so inspiring. I still know, I still keep a little bit in touch with a couple strong women athletes who are just they're just incredible. And I love strength sports, like because like a lot of sports for me, it's always gonna be strength sports, but like just because people are still breaking world records all the time. And our capacity, I think we viciously underestimate our own capacity in so many ways, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, magically. And strength training was the first thing that showed me beyond a shadow of a doubt, like you're like what you think your limitations are, you are wrong, and you have no idea how wrong you are. And like there were moments in contests and even just in training where I would suddenly be able to do something where I was like, I had no idea that was possible, and that just started to really, really open my perception to a lot of things in life.
Oh, I love that you paired it like that. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's great. Gosh, I'm trying to think. Yeah, so I have quite probably the opposite sort of story, and I'll just kind of recap it. But I actually did a weight training class when I was a teenager in high school, which was hilarious because I don't know why I just chose it. It was like either aerobics, right, where most of the girls would go to aerobics, or you go into strength training. And I was like, I kind of want to
Yes.
lift weights.
Yes.
But it was like me and another gal who was in, she was in on the football team, oddly enough, in Washington
Okay.
State. I think it was a kind of a big deal, but it was like all, it was every, all of the boys and then her would all do things. And I'm just by myself, like, okay, I guess I'll figure this out.
Yes.
Figure it out. But I keep looking back now at that. I was like, man, if anything is magical, I'm like, how, why did I even choose that as,
Yeah.
do you know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, through my life, it was like, okay, every so often I would pick up a lifting program. But very recently, I'm 45 now, but a couple of years ago, I was like, I really want to get back to strength training because I really loved it. And I have a trainer, and shout out to Matt Musso. He's awesome. And yeah, it's just been that thing of, like you said, you don't know how much capacity you have and how strong you are until you try.
Yeah.
And you keep pushing and you push yourself. But, you know, again, I'm 45. Like, you know, there's only so much I can push. You know, like the days of me being able to like really, really hurt myself are kind of over because I'm
Sure.
out for like a week. But yeah, it is, and it is about like overcoming your mind because you step up to a bar. Like I've been able to squat like 225 pounds recently,
Amazing.
and it's like, but you know, when you get under it and you're like, can I? Can
Weight
I?
goes off. Shit, yeah.
Yeah, can I? I'm pretty sure I can, but I can I? But you just have to have confidence in yourself. It's like a whole conversation
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
of stuff, but it is. I do think it's very magical, and I think that it's you know, and it's you putting your effort in, and it's the effort you can tangibly see, right?
Yeah,
With the muscles
yeah,
you get and
yeah.
you know how you look and the things you can do and get up off the ground really easily.
Like, I never get tired of people being like, oh, you're the strong friend. Can you help me? Like, oh, like it feels good to be able to be at like a level of capacity that I just feel is useful and helpful to other people too. Like, I know that like if I needed to scoop somebody up over my shoulder and get them to safety, I could, you know, in a certain range. You know, and just having that level of capacity is just something that make it just makes me feel very grounded and like I have this other thing that I can potentially contribute. And I think it is very magical. Like I go back, ESPN a few years ago did this really fantastic article about superhuman strength. And they actually talked to my friend Lifa Ingalls, who is the first woman to win the Arnold Strongwoman competition. She's an amazing coach now and just a wonderful person, but they interviewed her in this article. But the article talks about these sort of instances of extreme strength expressed under duress. So they tell the story about these two teenage girls pushing a tractor off of their father. And this is like a 1-ton tractor. And it's like these two normal like teenage girls and how they both strained every muscle in their body and were bedridden for like 2 weeks. But they were able to do it. And part of that is because of like in a true crisis, where your brain's inhibition, you allow you, this is not something you're manually controlling. It's just something that happens because of the emotion and the adrenaline of the moment, the meat, the what that's what's at stake, I guess. And those inhibitions leave your brain, and you are suddenly able to output so much force and so much power, it's unbelievable. And so it speaks to how our bodies are actually capable of expressing levels of energy that are truly remarkable. And it's so powerful, it's actually dangerous to our bodies. And so a lot of what we are doing in training is training our brain how to express power in a particular way so that our body can get good at it and do it safely. So there's sort of this idea that like under the right conditions, and we would play with this in training for strongman competitions. Like you would train your body to a level where like it will learn how to tap into that sort of extra reserve of power. And from like a magical lens, I think this is so potent. So it's the idea that just your ability to focus and to be present with what you're doing is your, like, your number one skill, because that is the channel that is going to allow whatever it is you're interacting with to move through you and express. You don't have to worry about if there's enough power or enough energy or something like that. Like, there's power and energy in everything, everywhere, all of the time. It's, can you maybe relax your brain enough and create a structure for yourself where you can tap into and harness and express and play with that energy and play with that energy.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't heard it explained that way, but I like that you use the like kind of the I don't know, what is that? The emergency like having to lift a truck
Yeah,
or
then you have
almost
the
like
truck
a
off the baby, right?
yes. Because yeah, I don't think people think that. I mean, you hear these stories, but you're like, oh, that couldn't be me. But it's like it's available,
Couldn't be me,
clearly.
right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I like that you explaining it, sort of training your brain to kind of, you know, that there is that reserve of power. It's very cool. I like how you explained all of that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I have this question around it because we were still talking about weightlifting, but do you have favorite music that you listen to?
Oh,
Because I
yes.
know I do, depending on
Oh,
what I'm
yes. I'm
doing.
actually wearing the t-shirt right now. My
Greenland.
Green Lung is currently my favorite lifting music. They're my favorite music for a lot of things right now. They are a UK metal band that I discovered maybe, I came across maybe like 4 years ago or so. And I've just fallen more and more in love with them. And their most recent album, This Heathen Land, is just spectacular. And I just saw them live for the first time. They just came to the United States for the first time, which is very special. And not only do they sing about magic and the occult, but they are just able to tap into this sort of almost emotional memory of like ancient Britain and like the foggy old world of pagan magic and like pre-Christian weirdness. Just as a half Irish person, like it just speaks to something in me. And it's fun and it's raucous but melodic and beautiful at the same time. So whenever I like am allowed to control the music at work, it's Green Lung.
Oh my gosh, I
Sorry,
think
not sorry.
no, it sounds, I feel like I've seen like an Instagram clip of them doing like a version of, or not a version, but a clip of their song, and they kind of sounds like that monk throat singing. Was it? I'm not sure if it's the right
Oh,
one,
you might be
but
thinking of, I think you're thinking of maybe somebody else, but
oh, maybe I'm
these
thinking of
guys
somebody
sound
else.
like they sound a little like, I hate to make comparisons because I'm not musically educated, but like a little Black Sabbath-ish.
Oh,
A little
okay,
bit, but
gotcha.
very like the guy's got a the Tom Templar, the vocalist, he's got a very unique voice. I'll send you some of their stuff.
Oh,
Check
please.
it out.
Yes.
They're so good.
I love it.
But music is honestly huge. I use music a lot in ritual. Speaking about like earlier in our discussion, you sort of mentioned like skimming an old tome and being like, is this gonna apply in 2024, right? And something I've been thinking about recently is the use of magic and technology in ritual, and how, like, I bet if John Dee could have plugged in his JBL speaker and blasted some Mongolian throat singing, while Edward's scrying or whatever, they would have vibed out, And so I think a lot about like using the tools that are available to you. And I think like music is such a powerful tool to help get into trance. You got to make sure you have the ads turned off, right? You don't want to get accidentally brainwashed while you're in a trance.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
I'll use magic to sort of like get into the zone and get into the mood, and like I use Green Lung sometimes for that. But there's been a great band, High Lung, that a lot of people are probably familiar with. They have that kind of like old world. They're one of their vocalists, male vocalists, has that like throat singing kind of vibe. I don't know if that's what he does, but it's a vibe. But yeah, using music is just like such a potent tool. And like, so for if seeing lifting as like ritual too, that's also one of the benefits of like being autistic is like, well, there are many. But Like I can, if I get into like a piece of music, like I do not get tired of it, like ever. So I will start to associate certain songs and certain albums with certain things so that I create like a Pavlovian response to that music. So it's like when I play this Green Long album when I'm in the gym, it's like flipping the switch and I just go into this sort of place where I'm just more dialed in, I'm more present, I'm more tapped in. So like I'll use music to sort of help me like bypass my own mind to get into like more a more embodied emotional like
Ooh.
state, whatever it is that I'm doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more. I love music. So yes, even music and ritual. I talked a little bit about before we started recording about having planetary rituals. So I kind of make like planetary specific lists of music
Oh,
and
that's genius.
things. It's
Oh, I love that.
and it's kind of funny. And then also I have like a particular, I call it like my leg day album or my leg day playlist. And it has like, for whatever reason, I don't, I was like, oh, why do all these lifters, they listen to a lot of heavy stuff when they lift or whatever. But then, yeah, what do I listen to? I'm listening to like the Melvins when I'm lifting and it's just like very heavy. Dark, so there's something about that power is, it like kind of helps with what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So yeah, thanks for walking through musical things. I love that. And now I have to check out Green Lung for sure. So you did already kind of touch on sort of what a ma your magical day is, but I and you're kind of, building that into sort of your everyday. Can you kind of walk us through what you're comfortable in sharing,
Sure,
like
sure.
you as
So
a
there's
magical
a few
person?
things.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely within, I say within the last year, I have started to just build in more semi-routine things, just as I've also just gotten to know myself better as a practitioner and what I need to do to just feel good day to day as a person to get done what I need to get done. So I have like usually in the morning I will do some kind of meditation, usually on the short side, whether it's a just focusing on just breath and observing my thoughts, letting them go. And I've recently started a more like single point focus meditation just to train focus. Sometimes I'll do that in the morning, sometimes I'll do it in the evening, sometimes both. I might follow that with like some purifying breath work while I'm in the shower. I'm a big fan of both affirmations as well as EFT, which is the tapping thing you might have seen. People just fucking wailing on their own heads, you know? It looks really silly, but it feels great. It works. I'm a big fan of it. I don't actually know that much about it. I've just dabbled, but what I have utilized has been effectual, and that's really all I care about. I like to kind of get the morning going with a combination of those things. Speak and sing in the shower. I like to like get in my body, get in my voice, try to move around a little bit. And it kind of depends on like what kind of day I'm having. Like if I'm working at the gym, I teach group class at a CrossFit box, CrossFit South Brooklyn, which is an amazing place. So some days I'm there teaching group class. Some days I'm in the city teaching one-on-ones. Some days I'm at home just working on film stuff and creative stuff. So it kind of depends on like what's going on. And my evening stuff is a little more consistent. I have an evening devotional practice that I do every night. And I'll sometimes pair that with a little meditation and then if I'm going to do spell work, that'll usually be in the evening. It'll usually be in the evening, around that same time. So it's like I'll meditate, either do the chanting and the devotional, and then go into spell work, or vice versa, kind of depending on on the nature of the work and what it is. So I try to like, and then I'll like read and, relax and scroll on TikTok and,
Yes, do all that stuff
move
too.
up, right? So it kind of depends on what's going on, but I have within the last couple months and over the course of this year has been a lot of like just sort of building in more layering in practices that help me stay more connected to my creativity, my intuition, my magical nature, and things that are helping me just continue to develop and hone my magical skill sets. So I'm getting really into like visionary trance work, and that's something that has just it's just a very powerful thing, I think. It's been very powerful for me, and I've had some really, really beautiful experiences and stuff come out of it. So I'm a big fan of, like, I used to get sort of overloaded worrying about having the right ingredients and tools and am I messing this up? And so there's a level to which I really like very stripped down, like, you literally don't need anything to do this magic, just your brain. So I really like stuff. So I'm a huge fan of just interior work like that. But I have also been recently getting into more planetary magic, and I love the beauty of that system and the correspondences. There's a lot of just intelligence in it, and I've just been finding that the energy that I've tapped into when I do it is really fun and powerful. And to sort of echo something you said maybe before we started recording, but about sort of the human sort of relationship that you like sort of feel with spirits and certain beings. And sort of the personality that comes through, right? And that's something I've definitely noticed in certain things. In particular, solar, when I do solar magic, it feels like at like a party. It's like, you wanna go, it's like, let's turn. Like, I end up playing music that's like club music that I like never listen to on my own, but like, and I'll get so into it. I've been trying to like, again, depending on what I need to do, depending on what's going on, but, planetary magic has been really fun to start to get into, and I'm still very much a novice at it, but it's been very rewarding.
Thanks. I like that your description of working with the solar energy. It's pretty right on. Oh, love it. Oh, it's funny. Oh gosh. Well, a couple more questions. Like I said, you're a Renaissance person, so you have so many cool things going on. And you work with the tarot, and I think you give readings as well.
Oh
So
yes.
what why tarot? Why?
So interestingly, tarot found me. I was gifted a tarot deck by a personal training client back in, I want to say 2014, 2015. And I'm pretty sure I looked at it, went, that's neat, and put it on a shelf and forgot that I owned it. And then when I was looking for magical-ish props for my web series, I must have pulled out and thought, oh, like, this will look cool. This is magic stuff. And got it out to use as a prop and started looking at it and started reading the little booklet and being like, oh, this is interesting. And I just started reading for myself. And I would just, I would like pull a card and look it up online and like read on like biddytarot.com. That was how I approached it for a really long time. And then I started following a reader and named Bakara Wintner, who was doing these online readings. She was like doing like a weekly live reading. This is like in 20, maybe she started doing this in like 2019, maybe 2020. And she was just a great reader and was able to just really tap into some very powerful stuff that really moved me. And I was like, wow, there's so much in this art form. I don't understand it. But it speaks to me. Or I would say around like 2018 into 2020, I started reading for myself constantly. I would try to read for my friends, and I was just like constantly doing spreads, just to try to absorb the cards. And I really, for a long time, I used it as a more like creative, intuitive sort of self-therapeutic exercise. I did not have a sense of there being a divinatory or a spirit contact aspect to it, but that came later. So I started reading for other people a couple of years ago, like more consistently, and then I started reading like professionally. And as I just did more readings and developed more practice, I would start to pick up on things, and I was like, I would start to get intuitions, and I would start to like get information that I would not otherwise have known, and just like it would just come through in the reading. And that was then around, it was just sort of a gradual awakening to like, oh, when I'm using this tool, I'm accessing a greater field of intelligence, and this is my operating system. Like the genius, the spirits of the cards are this like interface that I have with this sort of emergent field of information, whatever that is. And so over time, I sort of started developing a way to ask, my spirits, my allies, to try to, I started telling them, like, directly talk to me as much as you can. Like, when I read, like, come up, come through, tell me what you know as much as you can to the best of your ability. And since I started doing that, I started my readings just started getting a lot like very accurate, and to a point where I started getting it was sort of a jump from using it as this sort of like semi-therapeutic, obviously not as a therapist, but in the sense of using it to guide oneself through a helpful experience, to bring it into a place where I can confidently say that I'm accessing information. That I'm going to use that information to help me make decisions and pivot. And you know, it's only one piece of data. So like if I'm debating, if I'm doing a reading for myself on like a big important topic, like I'll read for myself, I'll try to get a friend to read for me. You know, it's just one piece of information. But I found it just started to be it's just a much more reliable way for me to contact like my own spirit guides and to be able to have a sort of conversation with them. So I've had a lot of moments of just really helpful stuff coming through to my own personal readings. And yeah, it's been a very interesting, very like started in one place, dramatically changed over time. And it was something that I also just fell in love with the beauty of it. I think like I work mostly with the Waite-Smith deck and the Rider-Waite-Smith deck and variants of that deck, but mostly like the one that my client gave me ages ago. It's like I have a very tight relationship with that deck, and then I have a very tight relationship with a similar deck that I use to read for other people. And it's just been a really beautiful experience, like getting to know the cards, and and they're also just very like even if you don't read in a divinatory aspect, they are especially at least for me this the Waite-Smith deck is such a magically loaded object, and the images in those cards are very magically loaded, and just meditating on one of them can pop off a whole bunch of shit in a really cool way. So it's like I'm just a huge fan of the tarot. It's been a huge gift in my life, and it's just been an endless source of creativity and inspiration and joy.
Oh, I like that you explained that when you tap it or started working with it, you kind of sensed that there was like, I don't know, beings or energies that you could kind of tap into when you're. At least when you're, I've never had anybody explain that before.
Yeah, you know, I also started having it like, especially as I got more practiced, I would say magically, I'm very emotional and somatic in the sense that the way that I experience things is in it's very in my body and it comes up in my emotions. So if like I'm reading for somebody, I'll get this like sudden surge of like a very particular emotion that will come out of nowhere. I'll be like, whoa, I'm like feeling this thing and I'm going to have to tell you about it. That was a sort of, I guess, psychic ability that I was not aware was a psychic ability until I was able to practice it in this context. And it got specific and very clear of like when it was happening. So yeah, it's been quite an interesting journey. I think tarot is, it's like if you have any inclination or curiosity about the tarot, definitely like get a deck and just hang out with the cards. Just hang out, ask them questions, see what happens.
You heard it here, you guys. Just give it a go. See
Good
what
girl.
happens. Oh, sort of the one of the last questions is around, so you are a filmmaker, and you kind of talked about, as a kid, why you chose going into acting and films. But is there anything more around that that you wanted to share around why you wanted
Absolutely.
to?
So I started performing at a very young age. It was just a very natural, fun thing for me to do. I was homeschooled until high school, and which so I was kind of semi-feral, which was great for me in a lot of ways as a very odd child, I say with love. And I was so I was, and I have a bunch of siblings. I have four siblings, and so we were, you know, not just left to our own devices, but we had all these like activity groups that we would do, and theater was one of them. And I loved theater, and that was definitely my big gateway into like, okay, like when I was 11 years old and I was playing Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit the musical, I was like, this is what I want to do. This is awesome. Like, yes. But I loved movies, and movies and TV were a just great source of comfort and joy, especially in like my very tumultuous teen years. Stuff like Lord of the Rings and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, A Knight's Tale. There's so many films that just deeply moved me, inspired me, gave me a place to go. And I so loved that feeling of being able to go into a different world and how magical it was. And I just had from around my teen years, I was like, I want to be able to act in movies where I am in this world that's totally different. And I didn't initially have aspirations of being a director or filmmaker. I just wanted to be an actor. And it wasn't until years out of film school when I started working with my partner Jackie that it became clear that in order to play the characters and tell the stories that I was passionate about, I would have to make it myself. So there's I we started Jackie had already been making short films and doing their own projects. And when we they became my roommate first, like we reconnected after we went to acting school together, reconnected after school. They ended up becoming my roommate, and we ended up shortly thereafter, like working on one of their short films. And then we started co-creating the web series Asher, which is about The Exorcist. And so it was sort of this like, and that I co-wrote with Jackie. They did directed it and like did all the actual filmmaking, but we co-produced it together. And through that process, like I just learned the art of filmmaking. And, you know, we would hire various people to work with us and, you know, learn a lot from other people that we hired and worked with. And so it sort of evolved like that. Like I started off as like, I just want to be an actor and like play these roles. But over time, it became clear to me that like there are certain types of roles that I want to play. There are certain archetypes and energies that I specifically want to embody and portray that I wanted to see more of growing up that I just have not seen. So this character Asher is very much that. She is like the wild, dark, crazy, potently magical, anarchic, feral feminine force. And in a way that I just think we have not seen before. That's really fun and powerful and awesome. Yeah. So that sort of led me to that's sort of how I segued from just acting to being like to taking on a more proactive architectural creative role. And Jackie like very much encouraged me. He's like, we start writing together. And then in 2021, we had ended up writing a feature script for this Asher character and her world. And we'd co-produced and co-directed a proof of concept short film for that, which is actually coming out soon. And
Cool.
we're going to be releasing that probably in the late midwinter-ish. I don't have a date yet, but TBA coming very, very soon. So we co-directed and co-wrote that. And then we also co-directed and produced a feature film called Werewolf Game that is going to be coming out on streaming on January 21st, 2025. And Werewolf Game is a psychological thriller about 12 people who are kidnapped and forced to play a real-life version of the party game Werewolf, where you have to vote on who you think amongst you is the hidden killer, and shenanigans occur. And it's dark, it's intense, it's very emotionally visceral. It's a lot, and a lot of magic went into making this movie. Okay, so I'm very excited for people to see it, and that will be out in January of this upcoming year.
Wow, cool. That's such a cool project. Oh my gosh. Yeah, they sound amazing. So
Thank
excited.
you. Thank you.
And de yeah, definitely. I'm already following like your Instagram or everything. I'm like waiting with bated breath now
Thank
to
you.
see
Thank you.
what
Thank
comes
you.
out.
Yeah, as soon as both these guys, be not afraid. Well, yeah, when as soon as that's out, I'll probably that might be hosted a couple different places, but as soon as that's out, it will be. As soon as both of these are out, you will not be able to get away from it. I will not shut up. It'll be everywhere.
Fantastic. I love it. Well, that segues beautifully into sort of the one of the last questions is about projects. So you shared any your filmmaking stuff coming out. Is there anything else that you wanted to share? Or...
Yes, so the films are really the biggest thing. Again, Be Not Afraid will be coming out probably within the next few months over the winter. Werewolf Game in January. I do write on Substack, strengthmagic.substack.com. You can find all my stuff at caraclaymore.com as well. I'm very active on Instagram and Threads. That's kind of it. Those are the big fish right now.
I
Those are
mean,
the
those are pretty big, so
yeah.
those are amazing.
They're hefty,
Yeah.
meaty boys.
Yes. Wow. I'm so excited for you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
All right. So finally, at the finally, you've already shared so much wisdom, but do you have any sort of final words of wisdom that you would like to share?
Gosh, it's like the most loaded question. I love it.
Yeah.
Because it's like anything I say is like it's perfect, it's potent.
Right.
No, I thought a lot. You gave me this question in advance, and I thought a lot about it. And I would say my answer is sort of twofold. It is go into your experience as much as you can. It is very easy to be only half in your experiences because you're witnessing through them through the lens of your own thoughts and through other people's opinions, and sort of constantly checking the world around you for feedback about what you should be doing. And there is so much power and literal magic in trying to disconnect as much as you can from the chatter and have experiences. And the sort of so my follow-up to that is spend time alone. Spend time alone. Spend time alone with yourself in ritual, in creative activities, doing nothing, chilling, not on your phone, not in absorbed in like a social thing. Like the ability to actually just spend time learning and noticing your own body and how your own mind works. We didn't get really get into this, but like in order for me to like, I think the only reason that I started to be, not the only reason, but my creative and magical work has gotten significantly better experientially in terms of my enjoyment of it, as well as in terms of the quality of output. Because I have done a lot of really hardcore internal, emotional, psychic, and psychological work on myself. Like I'm talking deep, dark shadow work, shit, and depatterning and unlearning to discern and understand. What are your thoughts? What are your actual beliefs versus what is a programmed belief? What is a fear belief? And that can only be figured out by doing some shit alone. Also therapy, also talking to mentors and people who know you well and like all that good stuff. But I think for the magician, you need to develop like such a clear internal landscape of your own mind and your own heart. And that can only be done by spending time with yourself. And learning to really cherish and sanctify that time as something precious. That's not like, oh, like now I have to meditate. It's like, no, now I get to like go spend time in myself, with my spirits. And it's something that's unique to every individual. And it's like the world is the internal, imaginal, magical world is your oyster. It's so big. It's so big. So it's like it's easy to feel sometimes like you don't have the right tools, or you don't have the right training, or you don't have the right skills or talent or like whatever. But it's not true. You do. You have everything that you need. You really do. You just gotta go inside.
Oh, I love it. Yes, it's the know thyself, right?
Oh, thyself. Yeah.
He explained it so beautifully. Like, know thyself, like get to know yourself.
Get
Like,
to know yourself.
yeah, spend some time
Yeah.
with
Time with
yourself.
you, babe.
Yes. Oh gosh. Well, Kara, it's been a pleasure. You're amazing.
Much.
I am so dazzled by all of the things that you do, and it's, amazing. I'm so happy that you chose to talk with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a delight. This is wonderful.
I really enjoyed connecting with Kara about art and being embodied through physical activity. So many good nuggets to chew on and consider. You definitely want to check out Kara's myriad of creative work, all linked in the show notes below, and definitely consider getting a tarot reading as well. Supporting the Casual Temple is free and easy. Like, follow, and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. Or drop us a note on casualtemple.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening and being an important part of the Casual Temple.